You may be seated. All right, let's open your Bibles. We continue eternally confirmed election. Everybody say eternally confirmed election. All right. Ella Liberman is our designated reader this morning. I want you to turn, take the document that we passed out to you and turn to page 3. Turn to page 3. In addition to that, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We shall look at election this morning. As we previously said, we're not talking about term election. We're talking about eternal election. In term election, men make choices. In eternal election, God has already made choice. Election is about what men are doing. Mm-hmm. Eternal election is about what God has already done.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Term election deals with choices of men and trying to solve problems. Mm-hmm. Eternal election is about the God of creation, of which none of this is any problem. Top of page 3 where it says identification of election's source and status. And make no mistake about it this morning, our focus is on eternal election, abiding election, election that is seen in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Election that is decreed and the benefits of it are eternal. Now I said to you this morning, no matter what is going on in your life, you have no real reason to be sitting here. That is, you have no informed reason, I should say, to be sitting here troubled. What happens is God's people are sad when we should be happy. We're worried when we should be confident. We're terrified when we should be in peace.
All right,
I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about the world. God's people should be the happiest people on the earth.
Amen. That's right.
But it comes from knowledge.
Right. Amen.
And understanding. And we are afraid because we're ignorant. Now, of course, the old pastors call it ignorant. That word, they trace the etymology of that word, it simply means without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made it to be something insulting.
Mm-hmm.
But you trace the origin of that word, it simply means lack of knowledge. And we are all ignorant in something.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the word of God here. And it's speaking to our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Even in the kingdom gospel, Jesus said to them, let not your heart be troubled.
Right, man. Right, right.
In other words, the Lord said, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
So, well, Lord, this is happening. So, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
are you terrified? Why are you confused? The problem is, our focus is off base. Our focus is off base. Instead of following our contract, opening this Bible and turning to your contract and reading it and absorbing it and internalizing it, what are we doing? Our focus, our priority is on what we are perceiving to be happening around us. Now in January we will get back into actualization by God's decree in eternity versus manifestation in time. And I said to you this morning, things are not the way they appear. The real deal is not the physical or secular. The real deal is the spiritual. If something is passing away, it is not real. What is real is eternally abiding. What is what has been and also will be. Not one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Now we're talking about election. Remember earlier in this document, We define election as simply mean choice. Choice. And too many of God's people have never even heard of the doctrine of God's choice. Because we've been taught that we're free spirits, not free spirit, but the free will. Yeah, we free will. Now here we are in the universe. And in the universe, there are billions of galaxies. We are only in one galaxy, the Milky Way. When I look into the universe, and you look at the Milky Way, it's just a small dot.
I hear you.
And then if you magnify the Milky Way, and you look at the solar system that we're in, the sun and the planets and all the moons, the stars, the earth, the sun is just a dot.
Amen.
And we look at the sun, to us it's big. In comparison to the earth.
Right.
But most of us don't get that far. We view God and assess God based upon the earth.
Amen.
And if you looked into the universe and you can hardly see the Milky Way, the earth is invisible. And yet, that's the assessment of God. That's how big God is. Whether my bills are paid up. Well, I'm having problems with my household or not. And the problem is, when we go to the 8th chapter of Romans, it's telling you that creation is all messed up. I promise we're not listening. Our expectations are for perfection. How are you going to get perfection in depraved creation? But all the good news is, all of these things are assessed to the term limit of time.
That's right.
To us, time is eternity, but time is not eternity.
It's not.
Time is merely the fourth dimension. You can look at space like a map that has three planes, the X, Y, and the Z plane. That is, with live and death. That's the space. time is the fourth dimension. These are all simply coordinates of a medium that is devised for testimony of God's purpose.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes.
As a purpose. The real deal is God.
Yeah.
It's God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must assess things on the realistic basis. He said, well, how are we going to do that? That's too complicated. No. God has given us His Word. Our problem is that for ages,
right.
Men have ignored God's Word. We're more impressed with the things that are around us. We're more infatuated by what we see. The scriptures are screaming at us and telling us what you see is not what it is because it's temporary. If it's fleeting, it's not real.
Hallelujah.
So, well, you can fool me. I'm going through this test and this trial. So, and Paul said they are light.
Right.
What do you mean they're light? Use that Greek word that's translated moment. You break the components of that down, it speaks of an atom. Atom is a particle so small you can't even see it. And those of you who have studied chemistry, you know that the atoms can exist in different places at the same time, right? Yes, they can. So what you see is not what you get. These are testimonies that are all geared to exact a record. The real deal is eternal intent. Eternal purpose. We're so busy and we're so sold with what we're doing until we're not concerned about what God is doing. And so we think that what we're doing is about everything. What God is doing, well, He's there to kind of help us along the way.
Amen.
We have agendas. We have an agenda, but God doesn't have one.
Right.
We have plans, but God doesn't have any.
I hear you.
We have goals, but God doesn't have any goals.
Oh, yep.
He just made the world. And then said, I'm going to sit back and see what you all are going to do.
Oh.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
We give Him credit for being a creator.
Come on.
But we don't give Him a credit for being a designer and a planner.
I hear you. I heard you. Oh, have to go.
We just don't get it. It's not coming through. This thing is all about God, not about us. We've been taught that we're in the nucleus, the center of things, and God is on the peripheral just to accommodate us. And we've been taught that we control things.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
And that's the craziest thing in the world. When you look at the cosmos, you look into the universe, nobody in their right mind says that we have anything to do with what's going on out there. With all of the stars and the millions of things that are happening. And you're having all of these collisions and everything's going down. No, nobody in their right mind says, hey, we got something to do with no. But when we get the earth, we're in charge.
Oh man, yeah.
Is that crazy? Say, we determine what happens. No, you don't. God is faithful. He would be unfaithful if he sat back and he left earth workings to us. What did Paul say to those men on Mars Hills? He said, in him we do what? We live. In him we do what? We move. In him we do what? We have our being. It's all about him. I said it sometime, and some of you used to chuckle, but I mean it. A fly doesn't wiggle. A fly, you know what a little fly is? Doesn't wiggle its left wing unless God has ordered it. So what I think, you cannot think without God enabling you. Can the creature? Can the creature? Can the creature operate independently of the Creator? And we talk about accidents. There are no accidents in God. You know why it's an accident? Because it doesn't align with your agenda. So because we have accidents, we think that God has accident,
right.
Have accident. No, nothing is wrong. Nothing is off base in the eternal realm. Mm-hmm. Things are messed up here. Things are designed to be messed up here.
Yeah.
You go to the 8th chapter of Romans, it says that God subjected this created earth to be depraved.
Yes,
he subjected it. Mm-hmm. It didn't get there by itself.
No.
Isn't that crazy? Sometimes we act like God is, you know, like he's not in control. In January, we're going to go into Genesis, but we're going to look at Genesis from Colossians. Like going back into the 13th century or the 14th century when the plague was going through, the church was persecuting people and putting them to death because they said God had visited the plague upon the upon the world because there was some sinful people here, and the church killed a lot of people. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So if we're back there, you may get caught up into that. But now we look back and we know it was the rats that was carrying the disease. So in January, we're going to look at Genesis, but we're going to look at it from Colossians. In other words, we look at it from the informed viewpoint of the knowledge base of knowing what's going on. So now, when you know what's, we understand the writings in our gospel, when you go back into Genesis, now you know what's going on. It's rats.
Right.
I'm using that analogy. Because what we've been taught, you know what we've been taught? We've been taught that, God made the world perfect. He made Adam perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day God took a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was gone, the devil came in and messed up everything. And then God got back and said, Adam, where are you? Like God, you know, you've just destroyed God's omniscience.
Right. Number. That's right.
Then pops up and says, I was hiding. The Lord said, why were you hiding? As if he didn't know. Then Adam said to the woman. Then the woman said to the devil. Then God turned to the devil and said, devil, what'd you do that for? It's like this is the way our minds and our focus is all out of kilter. And so because we're shaky, we almost view God as being shaky.
Amen.
We won't come out and say it, but you know, if we really knew that God was piloting the ship, like you get on a plane and you have some idea that pilot is, you know, got things under control, you're going to sit back and just ride, right? Or take the bus or whatever, you know. But if a storm comes and you like a little worry, there's some challenges there, you know. But God's the perfect pilot, no matter what's going on. So here, election is about God's choices. And God has made glorious choices. And everything that He has chosen is perfect and good. And don't let the things around you distort your confidence in God. Now read that. Everybody look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12.
Colossians, King James.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the 12th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Put on therefore as the elect.
See, that right away, he comes out the gate. That's why do we exegete? Why do we exegete? I defy you to look into the Greek manuscript, which we'll do in a minute, and come up with the word put. And see, when you read that, you're thinking that you have the power to put something on or take something off.
Right.
Read it, and then let's go to the Greek. Is everybody with us?
Put on, therefore, mm-hmm. as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy
mm-hmm.
and kindness,
mm-hmm.
humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against
well,
any.
Well, let's stop there. He goes on and he's saying some things, so forth and so on and so on. And so when you read that, you're thinking that that's something that you are ordered to do and that you should have the power to do it. Except that's not what it's saying. Now, we're going to read it from the Greek interlineal. But even there,
right.
They jumped on this train.
Right.
But read it anyway. From the Greek, from the interlinear. We're straightening all of it out.
Colossians 3:12, interlinear Greek.
Uh-huh.
Put ye on, therefore,
mm-hmm.
as chosen ones of God, holy and having been loved, bowels of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering.
All right. Now, what we're dealing with is the identification, let's go to the document. Everybody go to your document. Identification of election's source and status. What is the source of election? Again, we're talking about eternal election. We're talking about God's choice, okay? We're out of the picture, right? Except we're objects. Somebody said robots. Hey, that's what you want to call it. What is the source and status of God's choice? We're going to identify it here. Now, follow us closely here. The actual Greek manuscript linguistics of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, an assemblage of utterances according to the common English practice and word groupings. What am I saying here? You ever been around a foreigner? Somebody that who's not naturalized as far as what we call English. We don't really speak English. The British say that we butcher the language. But anyway. But you ever been around someone from another country? And they're talking. And when we listen to them, we say they're talking backwards. even though their language is older than English. English language is only 600 years. As we speak the English language now, it is only 600 years old. At the first century, there was no English language. What you have are the Anglos and the Saxons and the Celtics. Somehow the Celtics, Celtics they call them, they dropped by the wayside, and the dominant two dialects of Anglo and Saxon, what they call England or English, that's where we get the English from, Anglos, English. And most of the words are only, if you take a dictionary, the words are only about 500-600 years old. So now we have a problem with interpreting. Because in all the languages, you have the predicate leading the subject rather than the subject leading the predicate. And that's why we say they talk backwards. Well, we would start out with a noun, they would start out with a verb. So now what we're going to do is to break this around, but yet not lose what they're actually saying. Now follow this. Go back to your document. Now here I have the actual Greek script, and I won't go through it, but I got it there, and I said to those who may be listening to this on our internet, we've got this document, and we stand by it. Amen. And regardless of what the translations say, when you exegete this, this is what it's saying. The rendering is, you see where I am? And the rendering is in this sense, speaking as we would speak. Therefore, as God's elect, holy, and here this is literally how it is, and we'll deal with that this in a minute, have been and being beloved. Exhibited or displayed merciful compassion, kindness, humble thinking, meekness, long suffering. That's what he said. Now follow this. Here in prefacing this grammatical structural flow, note how we have grouped this. We have what we call the nominative case. What is the nominative case?
Subject.
It's the subject. So now what we've done is we've fast-forwarded the subject to the beginning of the expression. Follow me here. So what we did is we took the subject phraseology words. And there are three of them. They are connoting the verse's subject matter. And here it is rendered God's elect, holy, and having been and being loved. Amen. These identified subjects are those who were elected by God. Hence, holy and holy here only means separated. Plus those that were and are beloved. So here's what we have. We have the Greek word here, electi, which is derived down in the middle of the verse. I'm having to go forward here because time is getting away from us. Electi is derived from the preposition. So why, Pastor, why are you doing it? Because we're going to say something that's different.
Right.
From what's conveyed
right.
In most of the translations.
Right.
You can explain or explicate a thing until you actually come to the understanding of what was actually said.
That's right.
Otherwise, you end up explaining the wrong thing.
Hallelujah.
So we want what is actually said. We have the Greek word there, electi, which is derived from a preposition of ek and the verb lego. It literally means to speak out. Pick out. chose, a select. That's referring to those who are the objects of such some beginning. Here's what we're saying. We think that a thing has to be materialized before it's real. That may work with us. But we can't handcuff God like that. It means to speak out. And when God is speaking out, he is decreeing. So he picked out, spoke out, decreed you as his elect.
Yes.
That is what brought it into actualization.
Man.
That's what brought it into existence. We go back into Genesis and we think that that was the beginning of creation. My friend, that's just the testimony of it being materialized. God doesn't have to materialize something for it to exist.
Amen.
He speaks it, and that's it.
That's right. Glory to Jesus.
That's it.
That's
right.
You about to understand that.
Glory to Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah.
So we are God's choice. When did he choose us? In eternity. Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he did what?
Chose.
In him when?
Before
he created anything. How can he choose you before you exist? My friend, your existence is not on the basis of you being materialized. Your existence is on the basis of God speaking it. If he just thinks it, that's it.
I hear you.
We don't give God enough respect.
Amen.
You know, we actually put him on the same plane as ourselves. And because we're weak, sometimes we subconsciously think that God is weak. So we're his elect. Now, the second word there, I'm jumping around a little bit here, is the Greek word agii, which is translated, I'm at the bottom of the second paragraph, holy, or separated unto God. Now, you know what they have thought as an orthodoxy? That God planned to save you in eternity, but he had to wait the time to do it.
Right. Right.
And so the King James said it, that we should be holy. That word holy simply means separate. The very fact that he spoke you out means he picked you out. And the fact that he picked you out is the same as him separating you.
I hear you. That's
right. So you were separated when he picked you out. That's your separation. That's your holy. That's all that word. That word holy. I don't know how they took that word to mean character. Say, he's holy. So now you're looking for somebody that's right. Because I don't know who that could be. Oh, he's holy. The holy this and the holy that. No, you're not. That word simply means to set apart. So the fact that he picked you up, meaning he set you apart. Now the third word there is a very interesting word. It is the Greek word egapimeni. It means Literally, and this is why we've got it down here in writing. Having been and being loved. Here this is noted by the perfect tense. What is the perfect tense? We got it there. What is it?
Completed
action with what?
Present.
With present effectuation. That is a participle. What is a participle? It's a verb adjective. So, why, Pastor, you that? Because what we're coming up here with is different from many of these translations.
Right.
So we will document what we're saying.
Right.
It's an adjective.
Right.
An adjective to describe, but a participle is a verb adjective. So a verb is an action word. So you have an action verb word that is given description of something, and it's talking about God loving. Now when you get to the perfect tense, it's saying a completed action with present effects. So here you have not only that God loves you, but from the beginning He loved you. And He loves you because He loved you.
Right.
And how long has He been loving you? From the beginning. That's all He's saying here. He was writing a letter. And here He's speaking to the church. And He's telling you, God loved you before we ever materialized you. What did Paul say when he writing in Romans? He said he loved before either one of the twins were born. We talk about Esau and Jacob. He said he loved Jacob and did what?
Hated
Esau. He loved even though Jacob was a rascal. He was a slickster.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now we're not trying to embellish, amen, say that the things he did were right. No, they were wrong. They were crooked. He was a crook. Amen. But oh my God, before he got here, God loved him.
Yes, sir.
God,
amen.
Love is not conditioned on who you are. And what you can do or not do. Because he loved you before you got here.
Before you got here. That's right.
So this is what he's saying here. Now, give me 10 minutes and I'm going to bounce out of here today. I really don't know when I'm going to get through with this. But I can't worry about that. One more verb here. And this is the catcher. Listen real closely here. We have the Greek verb. Enthesate, which is translated, that's the one they translated put on. And in this third chapter, they messed that word up several times. Go to verse 5. You see that first word there in the King James? It said mortify. Mortify. Here you have the Greek word nekrosate, which they have translated put to death. And they're here, they're saying that Paul is saying put to death in your body fornication, uncleanliness, and other affection, covetousness, and all of these other things. Evil concupiscence. They're saying that the Bible says you can do it, so you just, do it.
That's not what
it's
saying.
And that's not what your body is doing, is it? So now it looks like the word of God here is unrealistic. But that's not what he's saying.
That's not what he's saying.
That Greek word is an imperative mood.
Right.
So yes, it is an order.
Come on with it.
But it's in the aorist tense.
Yes. Hallelujah.
A past completed command.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Now let's go to verse 8. Y'all hang with me just for a little bit. I'm gonna be down.
Verse 8.
From the King James.
Okay. But now, ye also put off all.
Put off. That's not what that says. It is a command. Look what follows it. Read. Look what you're telling in your strength to pull out, as David said, for you to put off. Put off what?
Anger.
Please.
Amen.
What else?
Wrath.
It gets worse. What else?
Malice.
Ooh.
Blasphemy.
Huh?
Blasphemy.
Uh-huh.
Filthy communication out of your mouth.
Uh-huh. So now, you're being ordered to come up with strength from somewhere. And except that is the Greek word apothestē. And it is in the imperative mood. Yes, it's a command.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just in the aorist tense.
It's
a completed action.
Right.
And then worse than that, you get to verse 9. Go to verse 9.
Verse 9. Lie not one to another.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that ye have put off the old man.
You see, that is so messed up. Stop lying, cause you're saved now. Y'all look at me funny. Strange. So now you're gonna get into a straitjacket, and you're not gonna. What else it say there? Stop. It says, "Don't lie." Do what?
Lie not one to another.
Uh huh.
Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
You put off all of that.
In verse 10.
That's the thing that confuses and frustrates.
Come on with it, Pastor.
You come into the church,
right?
And they tell you you're saved now. You got the new nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they confuse the old man with the new man.
Right. Yeah.
Here Paul said, actually we'll read from the Greek, he said, having put him off.
Right.
That is an aorist participle. Mm-hmm. That is a participle. What is a participle?
Verbal
adjective, but it's in the aorist tense. So now you done put off the old man, and you have put on the new man. But see, our problem is we're confused. We confuse the old man with the new man.
Amen.
What I'm looking at and what you're looking at is not the new man.
Come on.
I'm just as saved because God has elected me. You're just as saved as you'll ever be, but based on the fact that God has elected you. But what I see and what you see is not the new man. And it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
What we see is the old man.
Sure.
The new man is in Christ.
Right.
By God's decree, the new man is in Christ. The old man is who you and I are in the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
And so we're confused. Because we're saying that we should have the power to do this and that and the other. And then when we act like we act sometimes, it confuses us.
Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it out. Hallelujah.
But all the confusion is you confuse the old man with the new man. The new man is spiritual. You can't see him. In another scripture, he is spoken up as the inward man. Versus the outward man.
Right.
The outward man is the old man.
Yes.
That's you and me in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, as long as you and I in the flesh, we don't have the power to do any of this. But he's not talking about the old man.
Mm-hmm.
We don't preach to the old man.
Uh-huh.
We don't preach to the flesh.
No.
This is why we don't preach secularly here.
Mm-hmm.
We preach spiritually because we preach to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We preach to the spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
And here the goal of grace is to identify with the spiritual man. With who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Because there's no problem to identify with who you are in the flesh.
Amen.
Somebody rubbed me the wrong way, it doesn't take much.
Oh,
you all look at the strange. Huh? Yeah, we sit in church all life and be so, I'm just a saint. I'm still all that old foolishness. And then somebody does something to him and you go, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, you happen up on me at the wrong time. And somebody got me wrong. And you're a pastor?
Mm-hmm.
I can look up at you and say, ooh, also.
Mm-hmm.
That's the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand this. Now we're on the road to following these directives Because we know, amen, oh my God, in the 8th chapter of Romans, when Paul said you are not in the flesh, he is not talking about the physical you.
All right.
I did this last week. I want to do it again. Everybody spank it. Spank it hard till it hurts. This is flesh. This is the old man.
Yeah.
And God's got plans to get rid of him.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Oh, that's the glorious part.
Yes, he does.
When this earthly house of this tabernacle is what?
Is destroyed.
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 Destroyed. Mm-hmm. He destroys sin. In your flesh, somebody gets rid of the flesh, he gets rid of the sin. But that's not the real you. You are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, in the heavenly, in Christ Jesus.
Thank God. Thank God.
All the advantages of election.
Yes, glory be to God.
The advantages of election is God has chosen you.
Yes.
So he's talking about the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So here at the bottom of that page there, when we look at this word, in this something, and denoted the completed, dominated depiction of what was previously assigned or exhibited, he's talking about the new man. Thus the command of these verses of this plague in some destinies, and sometimes we identify with it and sometimes we don't. Don't fuck you to sing a song when you see me walking right. God's doing it. When you see me talking right, God's doing it. When you see me loving what I should be hating, God's doing it. When you see me forgiving what I should be getting even. I'm talking about how the world thinks now, okay? That's God's doing it. That's not you. You don't have the capacity to forgive. Not the old man. He said, well, I forgave him. No, you were identifying with the new man.
Yes,
don't you think? He said, well, and this is the way we put it. Well, I forgive him, but I won't forget. You see, that the flesh never forgets.
I hear you.
But the spirit forgives.
Amen.
So we identify with the spirit. What does the scripture teach us? What does the scripture teach us? What does the scripture teach? Number one, give no occasion to the flesh.
Right.
Occasion me what? Opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? Some things we just don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
It says put no confidence in the flesh.
No confidence. That's right.
What does confidence mean? Trust?
Trust. That's right.
You mean I can't trust my flesh? You better not.
You can't. I hear you.
Then it said don't walk in it.
Don't walk
in it. I say this and I go to my seat. Here, what is this plead for the sake of testimony? What do they read them? At the bottom.
Merciful
what? Compassion.
Kindness.
Humble thinking.
Meekness.
Long suffering. Are you out of your mind? I'm not going to put up with that. Huh? I agree, the flesh won't put up with not one second of it. But the spirit man, he's beautiful. These are the advantages of election, are the advantages of God's choice. So this is what God has done in you. This is what God has done in you.
Right.
Now, we have spent this time today talking about this because what you got to do now is to take this on down into your life.
Right.
This is all about God, not about you.
Yeah.
It's about God's will. It's about God's plan. It's about God's purpose. He has not commissioned the church to straighten out this world.
No.
I see the different denominations and organizations, they're getting political and they're go on and say we're going to get this law repealed and this is what God has given us to do, this so forth and so on. I'm telling you that according to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, he gave some what? And what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teaching for straightening out Washington.
No.
For what?
The perfecting
of the saints for the work of the ministry. And then he tells you what the work of the ministry is. Edifying, building up the body of Christ. So our job is the spiritual realm of building up the essence of what God has made you and placing you in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, in eternity, and who you are, not what you are depicted as being right now, but an election, oh my God, that gives the glorious result and essence of who we are and have been from eternity. We are heirs of God, joint heirs of that, oh my God, belongs to Christ. And so, I'm through. Our focus is heavenward, not earth. Our priority is you. You know what? It's like that. They would say the church has failed. The church hasn't failed. You only say that when you have the illusion that the church was commissioned to straighten out the world.
No.
God's got plans for this world.
Sure.
And they aren't pretty.
Yeah, pretty.
Some of you are going to get nervous. But they're not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
They're not pretty at all.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read Daniel? Have you not read Revelation?
Amen.
They're not pretty. But you are not of the world.
That's right.
You are in the world manifestably right now, but you're not of the world. He will change everything that is around you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens that God hasn't ordained.
Right. Thank you.
If you lost your business, it's because God ordained it. If you lost your job, it's because God ordained it. It's like we think that the devil's out here doing stuff and God is the devil, stop. Don't do that. You know, that is so crazy. If you're sick, God ordained it. If you come up with cancer, God ordained it. He said, oh, why am I? God, no, the devil did. The devil is like, you know, it's like, it is so crazy. We give, the devil is happy to accommodate, but he's not the creator.
No.
Where do you think his power comes from?
God.
Our purpose, our problem is this. We're trying to find the answer to eternal things in time. The purpose and the answer for everything that happens in life touching you is God has an eternal purpose. It would be almost like God failed Apostle Paul. From the moment he met Jesus, it was downhill, wasn't it? He testified that he was beat with 40 stripes, save one. In prison 3 times. Stone. Left outside. Took outside of Lystra and stone. Left for dead. And then eventually executed. By
Nero.
Here's the man that God gave the revelation of the mystery to. You know. And if you looked at that and you don't know where to God, you talk like what's the leader, Stalin, Russian leader, he said, as he has looked at it and assessed it, God is not a very good general. In other words, you know, if he's the leader and things are messed up, then he's not a very good leader. But he's a very good leader. What we have to learn, and I leave you with this, whatever's happened to you, do not try to find the answer or explain the answer in the capsule of the sphere of time. Everything has an eternal purpose, an eternal intent. So Paul is executed. He wasn't delivered out of the jail from the Emperor Nero, that ferocious beast of an individual. First of all, who put Nero in power?
God.
Now that would be confusing to him. He said, no, the devil put him in power. I'm like, please. Who put Hitler in power? So, woman, you're getting crazy now. Well, he said that they were going to rule for 1,000 years. How long did they rule? 12 years. He was toast. It was all over, wasn't it? Huh? So he puts one up and he does what? He takes him down. Here's the way we have to look at it, and then I am through. You've got to look at this thing in perspective of what God's purpose and intent is.
Amen.
So we don't look at the thing as it now appears. But what is God doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
What is God's purpose for it?
That's it. Amen.
What is God's reason for it? Mm-hmm. But you don't find the answer in time because, oh my God, it dwells in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what trust comes in to it, that you believe God and trust God. And whatever he's doing, he knows what he's doing. In fact, he has done it. It's decreed. And so don't be walking around here worried every day and things go, quote, wrong. Things happen because you're in a depraved creation where things are designed to go wrong. In fact, here's our problem. God is so busy overruling depravity until we have these expectations that things should go right. If God stepped back and turned things over to the devil, or even turned things over to us, we all kill each other.
Amen.
Because we're depraved.
Mm-hmm.
We would. God is busy. And he is so busy until, for his eternal purpose, when he does not veto something, we said something went wrong. No, he let it manifest for his purpose. And the testimony, the thing is messed up. There's things, there's people, and whatever's going on out here. Now, so all the things are going to go down within the next year or so. We do not want God's people to be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is in control. God has eternal purpose. God has eternal plans. And all of these things are working in relationship to God's plan. He hasn't lost control, not for one iota or one moment. The choices of the things that are going on around you, which are not your choices, in eternal intent, are just as secure as his choice of saving you.
Right.
And so let's act like we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Saved means safe.
Yes.
If you don't feel safe, then you don't have the business saying you're saved.
Amen.
Because if you're saved, you're safe. Then we can say safe and secure from all along.
Mm-hmm.
And we sing that song, we don't really mean that. We're just as troubled as those that don't know him.
Right.
Do you love the Lord this morning?
Hallelujah.
Is he a good leader?
Yeah.
Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.